Commitments by Simon Brett, starring Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, and Celia Imrie, Charlotte. Episode 5, Not a Leg to Stand On.
And those are the appointments for tomorrow morning.
I don't know. Look at them. Check-up, check-up, check-up after boring check-up. No surprise the suicide rate amongst dentists is so high. Anything to get out of the boredom of all these bloody check-ups.
It's the penalty of success, Eddie. The public have been listening to all that stuff about cleaning their teeth and flossing and not eating sweets.
Oh, I know. It's taken all the fun out of the job. Not that there ever was that much fun in it. But at least you used to be able to rely on a few mouths that looked like Dresden the morning after the bombing. Now, are you going to put those patients' notes away?
I'm just about to. Now, if you could pass them up to me when I'm on the chair.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, it's wobbly.
Now, back in the old days, for a dentist, every mouth used to be a voyage of discovery. Nowadays, there's about as much individuality as the inside of yogurt pots. All the teeth are so straight and even, apart from anything else. When did we last have a proper Ken Dodd through the surgery, eh?
Well, there's Mr. Warren.
Oh, yes, right. Bonnie Warren, mouth like the inside of my mother-in-law's handbag. But even he was inquiring about orthodontics last time he was in. That'd be dreadful if he had his teeth straightened. I'll have to change his name for a start.
Why?
Well, presumably he's called Bunny because of his teeth.
You don't think it might be something to do with his surname being Warren?
What? No, never. Everything's sanitized and neat and tidy these days. No rough edges. It was the rough edges that used to make life interesting. Nowadays, you have alcohol-free lager, underarm deodorants. Guy Fawkes fireworks displays cordoned off for safety reasons, and circuses that don't do any harm to animals.
But would you rather go back to everyone being drunk and smelling disgusting, and lots of burns and injuries at fireworks parties, and monkeys being whipped to jump through hoops?
Yes.
God, I've often wondered, Eddie, why you make yourself out to be such an antisocial, cantankerous brute.
Because I am an antisocial, cantankerous brute. You get Jan on the subject, she'll tell you.
Yes, but her view's biased.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, she is married to you, and that does tend to colour things a bit. But I think it's just an affectation. You know, you're not really as terrible as you make out.
Oh, yes, I am. That's one of the few things on which Jan and I agree.
I think you're selling yourself short. Yes, I mean, I admit your manner may be a bit...
aggressive?
Yes.
Thoughtless?
Mm-hmm.
Downright bloody rude?
Right, yes, yes, all right, but I know that under that gruff exterior...
her beats a heart of gold. No, sorry, you've got the wrong guy. Are you sure you can reach up there?
Yeah, yes. No, Eddie, you are just afraid of...
What? Letting my feminine side show? Ah, come on, Anna. I don't expect psycho babble from you.
Yeah, you are the one who's supplying the psycho babble. All I'm saying is...
Oh, heavens above, Anna. Anna, are you all right?
No. Oh, I think I've done something to my leg.
There is no question about it, Anna. You'll have to come and stay with us.
That won't be necessary.
Well, you won't be able to manage at home on your own.
I'll be able to manage most things. If you could just drop in every day to help me with...
The consultant said it's a bad fracture and that you must take care of yourself.
Of myself, yes, Victoria. Take care of myself.
Don't be silly. He meant you must be looked after.
No, I'm sure.
Anna, I am going to look after you.
Whether I like it or not.
That is not the point. It is just a matter of responsibility. It is my sisterly duty to look after you, and that is what I am going to do. As soon as you're allowed out of here, you're going to come and stay with Roger and me.
But...
and the children.
Victoria, I appreciate your offer very much, and I'm very grateful. But I just think if I was in my own house and you sort of dropped in once a day, I'd be much more comfortable.
You're ill, Anna. You can't expect to be comfortable.
All right, I'd be happier.
You can't expect to be happy either, not when you're ill.
I'm hardly ill. I am injured. I've broken my leg.
You're in a hospital. You're in pain. You're not capable of managing on your own. That comes under my definition of ill. Now, has the consultant said anything about when you'll be able to come out?
Probably tomorrow.
Fine. I'll check with the sister on my way out. We'll set up Roger's study as a bedroom for you, because that's on the ground floor, so you won't have any problem with the stairs. And then, of course, there's the loo by the front door. Or probably at first you'll be using a bedpan, won't you? I'm sure we'll be able to arrange something.
No. Anna, darling, I'm desolated. You poor lamb. You must be... absolute agony.
Wait, it doesn't actually hurt that much now.
Oh, you're just saying that.
No, I'm not.
I know you of old. Never one to make a fuss.
No, honestly, Charlotte,
but I bet
doesn't...
you're really having to bite your lip just to counteract the pain.
No.
Certainly, that's what it was like for me when I had my ingrown toenail. Sheer blind agony. Oh, everyone thinks an ingrown toenail's a kind of joke ailment, but it isn't. Or at least mine wasn't. The pain just shot through me all the time. Oh. Like red hot needles. Mm. I mean, obviously walking was like diving into a burning vat of pure pain. Oh. But even sitting still, just lying on the sofa, which of course is what I had to do most of the time, even that was purgatory. And of course for me there was the mental anguish too.
Mental anguish?
Well, the threat to my dancing. You know, if it had become an amputation issue.
Oh, I see.
I mean, imagine the pain of having to turn down the lead in a West End musical.
You've never been offered the lead in a West End musical.
No, but that's not the point. It just happens that my career has been concentrated more on other aspects of the business. You know, I think it's very important in the theatre that one focuses on one particular area.
You've never done that. So far as I can see, you've accepted every bit of work you've ever been offered.
That's not fair, Anna.
Well, go on. Name one thing you've ever turned down.
I refused to do that commercial for anti-wrinkle cream.
Only because they wanted you just for the before shots and were going to book someone else for the after.
I'll ignore that, Anna, because I know it's the pain speaking, not the real you. You wouldn't have said something like that to me if your leg wasn't broken.
Yes, I would. I've often said things like that to you.
No, you wouldn't, Anna. Now, practicalities. What can I do to help you? I'll drop everything, absolutely everything, and rush to your side like a ministering angel.
That's very kind of
so
you.
So just tell me. I'm entirely at your service. What's the most useful thing I can do?
Well, I wonder, could you do some shopping for me?
Shopping?
Yes. The thing is, I'm being allowed out tomorrow, and I really would like to give something to the nurses. They've been so sweet to me, you know, just a big box of chocolates.
So you want me to go out, buy a box of chocolates and, what, bring them over to you at the hospital?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind. I'm in a private room, so you don't have to worry about visiting hours.
No, and you want me to do that today?
Well, as I said, I'm coming out tomorrow.
Hmm. What do you want in a hospital actually in London?
It's only 40 minutes from Pimlico in the car.
Yes.
And you did say you were entirely at my service.
Yes, I know, but I wasn't thinking of today.
You've got something on.
Well, a few things. Yes. You know, being a working actress.
But I thought you weren't working. I thought that's what you keep complaining about.
Anna, working for an actress is not just being at work. It's hard to explain to someone who's not in the business. But there's a lot one has to do in terms of managing one's career. Writing to people, keeping up contact, networking, going to interviews.
Have you got an interview today, then?
Well, not as such, no, but one never knows when the phone's going to ring. As an actress, one lives one's life in a perpetual state of tenterhooks. And then, of course, Giselle will be coming home from school.
Yeah, I should think that child had dropped dead from shock if she actually found you there when she got home from school.
I'll ignore that too, Anna. Put it down to the pain.
Well,
and then, anyway, I have to go to the gym. It's terribly important for an actress to look after her body properly. I mean, it's not just fitness, like it might be for somebody ordinary. My body is my professional equipment. It needs proper maintenance. And if I miss even one session at the gym, then I'm going
to... So what you're saying is that you can't buy the chocolates and come and see me today?
No. Sorry, darling. Any other time, but today is just horrendous.
All right, don't worry. I'll get someone else to buy them.
Fine. Anyway, I better ring off now. I don't want you to tire yourself by talking too much.
Time to be a fine thing.
Well, I'll put it in the wee cupboard here, then.
Oh, yes, yes, that'll be fine. The nurses are unlikely to look in there, so it'll be a bit of a surprise.
Yes.
It's very good of you to have done that, Eddie.
Oh, no problem. No, I had to go out anyway. Jan had run out of gin. That's serious. Gin's the only thing that keeps our marriage together.
You're joking.
I am not. Even with the booze, we look bad enough to each other. Can't imagine what it would be like if either of us could ever see straight.
You do exaggerate, Eddie.
I do not. John and I are like poles.
Like poles? What, from Poland?
No, 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 from physics. Do you not remember the rules of magnetism? Like poles repel.
I do appreciate your coming here, Eddie.
Oh, it's nothing. I wanted to have a word with you anyway.
About what?
I wanted to check. Would Mrs. Frobisher's notes be with all the others?
Well, I would imagine so. Why wouldn't they be?
Just with her only recently having moved to the area.
Well, I'm sure they are there. Have you looked?
No, I haven't. I will in the morning. I should have brought you some grapes or something, shouldn't I?
No, of course you shouldn't. You've done quite enough just getting the chocolate.
No, I was...
Eddie, can't you for once accept that you've done a decent act for no other reason than that you are a decent human being?
No.
Look, you've given up your evening to buy those chocolates and visit me. That is the act of a decent man.
No, it isn't.
What?
It's the act of a man whose alternative is spending the evening with John.
Oh, Eddie!
Now, I do hope you'll be comfortable.
It looks absolutely fine. Nice soft bed. Oh, nice Mindless magazine. What more could I ask? It won't be for long, anyway.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure about that.
Oh, look, the consultant said just rest up for a couple of days and then take things easy for the following week. There's no problem.
No, so long as you don't get complications.
But I'm sure I won't.
Well, let's hope not.
What are you doing?
Putting this on the door.
What is it? I can't see.
It's just a notice to remind Emily, Harriet and Benji that you're in here and they're not to disturb you.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I don't mind them coming in.
You need complete rest. That's what the consultant said.
It's not what he said to me.
Well, he said it to me when I had a little word.
Oh, Victoria. Why on earth did you have a little word with him? And what is it to do with you? It's my leg that's broken, not yours.
And if the consultant says you should have a complete rest, then that is what I am going to see that you have.
Thank you.
It's not just the leg. Anyway, you probably need the rest for other reasons.
What other reasons?
Something like a fall, you know, may not just be a fall.
I beg your pardon?
Particularly for someone of your age.
It
could be symptomatic of something else.
What? Symptomatic of the fact that the legs on Eddie's chair aren't all the same length?
No, I mean symptomatic of some problem of your own.
Problem of my own? Victoria, are you trying to suggest that my broken leg's psychosomatic?
No, I know full well it's a real broken leg.
But I'm glad to hear it.
But it could still be a physical expression of some inner problem.
I see. So my falling off the chair was a cry for help, was it?
Well...
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Victoria, but I haven't actually got any inner problems.
Oh, everyone has inner problems.
But all right, I haven't got any inner problems that I can't look after myself. Thank you very much.
If there's anything you need to talk through with me...
No, really, I'll be quite happy just lying here reading my magazine.
Well, if you're sure...
I'm sure. Thanks.
I'll just go and get on with the washing.
Fine.
Honestly, you wouldn't believe how many dirty clothes can be generated by three children and one husband.
And you?
Hmm?
Well, presumably your clothes get dirty too, don't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, I envy you not having any problems you need to talk through.
Oh, yes, I suppose I am lucky.
Because I've just got to talk to someone about my problems.
Really, Victoria? Have you?
And Roger has entirely lost interest in me. I'm not sure that he ever had that much interest in me, but whatever there may once have been, it's all gone now.
I thought things were so much better between you and Roger, Victoria.
That's the way it may have looked, but nobody outside can really know what's going on inside a marriage.
True.
Nobody outside can look behind the bedroom door.
No, well, often that's just as well, isn't it? But I thought things had settled down between you. You know, after that time a few years back when Roger was having a...
When Roger was having... What?
A midlife crisis.
You said Anne.
Sorry?
You said Anne. You said when Roger was having Anne... You don't have an midlife crisis.
No, I was actually going to say an appalling midlife crisis.
You weren't going to say an affair, were you?
An affair? Roger?
No, you're right. It is a pretty laughable idea. At least, if he was having an affair, it would be something positive. Something real. Something other than the dreadful apathy into which our marriage seems to have descended. It'd show he's capable of feeling.
Of course Roger's capable of feeling.
Is he? Is he?
Yes.
Go on, tell me. What does he feel about? Tell me one thing he actually feels about.
Well, he's very fond of the children.
Is he?
Of course he is.
He never shows it.
No, well, he's just not a very demonstrative man. And he's very fond of you, too, Victoria.
Is he?
He never shows that, either.
He adores you.
Does he?
Yes, of course he does.
How can you tell?
Well, you can tell And then he's very keen on his work, isn't he?
Oh, yes.
I mean, you get him on the subject of being a finest director in the world of food, and there's no stopping him, is there?
No, no, there isn't.
And golf, I mean, he gets positively passionate about his golf, doesn't he?
Oh, that's true.
And not to mention the rugby. I mean, I was here one Saturday afternoon when he was watching England versus France, and... Well, I'm surprised you've got any sofa cushions left.
Yes, well, what are you suggesting? That I should get myself made over into a rugby ball and then he'd be passionate about me too?
No, of course not, Victoria.
No, I don't know. I look at myself and I think, how long have I got?
Look, you've got ages, your only...
What have I done with my life? What have I achieved? 3 children who hardly acknowledge my existence, a husband who doesn't even notice he's sharing a bed with me, and nothing at all in career terms. I have devoted my life to being a wife and mother, and now I realise... Just what a pointless investment of energy it's all been. I am nothing but a... And none of it counts for anything. Do you know? I sat down yesterday with a calculator and I worked out how many meals I've cooked since I've been married and how many washing machine loads I've done. Do you want to know how many it is?
No, not really.
Well, it's a big number. Let me tell you, it's a very big number.
I'm sure it is.
And do you think... Anybody has noticed a single one of those meals? Anyone's appreciated the way these clean clothes just keep turning up in their cupboards?
I would think probably not.
No, you are right. So far as they're concerned, it just happens. Automatically. I am just one more domestic appliance. I'm no more interesting than any of the others, except that I'm the one that's getting older, and no doubt will soon stop being quite so efficient. How long do you think it'll be before Roger trades me in for a new state-of-the-art model?
Now, Victoria, you are being melodramatic.
No, I'm not. Charlotte's the melodramatic one in the family.
Well, at times you're capable of being very like her.
Anna, that is a horribly cruel thing to say. How can you? Oh, no, who on earth can that be? I can't go to the front door looking like this.
Well, I can't go. I'm not actually mobile.
No, I'll have to. I've got a cold. That's it. I've got a cold.
Could you close the door, Jill?
Hello, Vicky, darling.
Oh, no.
Talk of the devil. What about you doing here?
Came to see the invalid. Where is she?
Through in Roger's study.
Oh. Ah, what's the matter with you, Vicky? You look a complete wreck.
I've got a cold.
Well, for heaven's sake, keep away from me. A cold's an absolute disaster for an actress. Why?
You haven't changed the habits of a lifetime and got some work, have you?
Anna, darling, lovely to see you.
Oh, you too, Charlotte, love.
Victoria looking after you all right, is
yes,
she?
Yes, fine, thanks.
Not being too bossy.
I am not bossy, Charlotte.
Huh? And Princess Diana doesn't like publicity.
Oh, no, the sob stuff. You haven't been getting Vicky's martyred anguish routine, have you, Anna? My husband doesn't understand me, all that.
Shut up!
It's her own fault for choosing a husband who doesn't understand anything. You know, I do sometimes wonder whether Roger is actually of this species or whether he's made up from a kit by some incompetent alien.
Now,
listen, please! I'm meant to be having a complete rest. Now, that's what the consultant said, isn't it, Victoria?
Well, no idea.
Traffic was like coming out of London. Just horrendous. Bumper to bumper, Vauxhall Cavaliers, all owned by Vauxhall Cavalier sort of people who live in Beckenham.
I can assure you, Charlotte, some very interesting people live in Beckenham.
Oh, yes. And you meet all the wives buying their extra virgin olive oil at Sainsbury's, and the husbands all play golf with Roger, isn't that right?
For a person to be interesting, They don't have to put on silly voices and show off all the time.
What do you mean by that?
Whenever we've been to one of your parties and met your so-called interesting friends, they have done nothing but draw attention to themselves in a way that most kindergarten children would be ashamed of.
At least my friends aren't dead from the neck up. Nor, like yours, are they dead from the waist down, as it happens.
Oh, I knew it wouldn't be long for you to bring sex into it. Never takes you long, does it?
Vicky, I know you wouldn't understand, but for some of us, sex is a natural and very beautiful means of expression. If sex is something that one happens to be good at, as I am, then...
Then your bed will end up like Piccadilly Circus in the rush hour, as yours does.
Oh! Victoria and Charlotte, will you both be...
What do you think you're doing?
I was just going to answer the phone.
Charlotte, this is my house. The call will be for me.
Might be for me. I gave my agent this number just in case something came up.
Ah!
If one of you doesn't answer it, then whoever it is going to ring off.
Yes, of course it'll be for me.
Bet it's for me.
Hello? Oh, yes, she is.
See?
Anna, it's for you.
Hmm. Thanks. Hello? It is private. Would you two mind just...
Come along, Vicky. We mustn't infringe Anna's privacy, must we?
No, I suppose not.
And if you could just close the door. Eddie? What? Oh, no, I didn't mean it about being private. Just a chance for me to be on my own for a moment. What? Well, yes, I suppose you could come and visit me here.
And the thing is, Anna, I hope you're not feeling too bad about it.
About what?
Well, about, you know, having the leg broken.
Oh, no, no. It's a nuisance, obviously, but well, these things happen.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Is there something you're trying to say, Eddie?
What kind of thing would that be?
Well, I don't know, do I? I'm not the one who's having difficulty saying it.
No. No, no.
So is there?
Well, it's... no, there's not.
I really am grateful to you for coming, Eddie. It's a relief to be visited by someone without an ulterior motive.
How's that?
Well, for Victoria and Charlotte, the fact that I can't move simply provides them with a captive audience.
Ah.
And a license to maunder on endlessly about their problems. Whereas with you...
Well, with me, you get plenty of maundering on about Jan.
Yes, but that's so much part of your personality, I just don't hear it anymore.
Oh, thank you.
No, I feel that you come simply because you want to help, not because you're trying to get something from me.
There's one thing, Anna.
Yes?
Well, bye. Goodness, I didn't realize it was so late. Now, I'd better be off.
Hmm?
Jan gets very fretful if she doesn't have a good row at the end of the day before she stomps off into the spare bedroom. I'll see you tomorrow, Anna.
Eddie, I...
Now, are you sure you're going to be all right, Anna?
Of course! Look, I'm getting really zippy on these crutches. Would you like a cup of coffee or something? Or do you have to rush off?
Well, perhaps I'd better get back.
Look, there's the washing and all this.
Oh, yes.
But if you like, I could drop in tomorrow.
No, I really don't think that'll be necessary, Victoria. I'll be fine. I'm back to work on Monday. It's only 4 days on my own.
Yes. And you say Eddie will be coming in each day?
Mm-hmm. Just to see if there's anything I need, shopping or... No.
It's strange. You know, I've always thought of Eddie as totally boorish and selfish.
Well, must be too quick to judge people, must you?
No. Because he's really been so thoughtful over this leg business. Proper good Samaritan stuff.
Yes. And I would like to say how grateful I am for everything you've done, Victoria.
Oh, don't mention it. It's just part of being family. I have to rally round when there's an emergency. Forget about self and help the person who's really in trouble, eh?
Well, it's much appreciated anyway.
Yes, well, perhaps I'd better be off.
Well, if you have to, then.
Mm.
And I hope, you know, everything will be fine.
Yes. Yes. But will it? I mean, why should things suddenly change? Is it really likely that things are going to get any better at my age?
Maybe we'd better have that coffee after all.
Hmm? I mean, once an opportunity has been missed, well, it's been missed for good, hasn't it?
If I married the wrong man 24 years ago, I'm never going to get back those 24 years, am I? And what's more, it means I've got the wrong children. All three of them. They're not the children I should have had. But I can't undo that, can I? I can't clean and become a different person.
Hi, more tea, Eddie?
No, thanks. No, that was just... thank you.
How's Jan?
Still alive, but then you can't have everything.
Oh, you know, deep down, I think you're absolutely devoted to her.
I'm not. Deep down, I loathe her even more than I do on the surface. Deep down, my feelings are not inhibited by the social conventions of good manners.
And they are on the surface?
You'd better believe it.
Oh, I wonder what it is, Eddie, that makes it impossible for you ever to think good of yourself.
Self-knowledge. And that self-knowledge tells me I'm entirely motivated by self-interest.
No, I'm sorry, but that won't wash. Mm. However much you try to deny it, you have a core of genuine, solid goodness.
No!
But look at the way you've taken care of me since I broke my leg. I mean, coming to the hospital, visiting me at Victoria's, being here today, promising to be here in the next few days. I'm sorry, Eddie, but given the circumstances, it's hard to avoid the word altruism.
About when you broke your leg, Anna.
Yeah.
It happened at the surgery, on my premises.
I do know that. I was there at the time.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And you fell off one of my chairs, which, it has to be said, was wobbly.
Yes?
Well, now, there are people who would regard that as an industrial accident.
Funny, I never really think of dentist chairs.
And who would then sue their employer for compensation.
What?
Anna, I have to ask you. Are you planning to sue me for compensation?
Eddie, it was an accident. It just happened. You weren't negligent.
Can I take that as a no, then?
Eddie, is this what you've been trying to ask me for the last week? Is this the question you've kept building up to and then veering away from?
Anna, are you telling me you aren't intending to sue?
No, of course I'm not. I wouldn't do something like that.
Oh, right. Well, I'd better be off, then.
What?
I'll see you Monday, right?
But I thought you said you'd drop in tomorrow.
No need for that. You seem to be managing fine on your own.
What?
See you Monday. Bye, Anna.
Oh, Eddie.
In episode 5 of No Commitments, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, and Celia Imrie, Charlotte. James Green played Eddie. The music was composed by Elizabeth Parker of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Anne Jobson.